In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So he's rejected by his hometown of Nazareth. And Jesus has returned to the other regions of Galilee, and by his ministry of word and deed, he reveals himself as the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior sent from heaven as the Son of God. He comes in the footsteps of the Old Testament prophets, speaking and acting in the name of the Lord, suffering rejection and hostility in return, but thereby fulfilling all the promises of God. For his entire life and ministry and finally his death are the accomplishment of all that the prophets before him spoke and did and suffered. He not only walks in the footsteps of the prophets himself, but he also calls and prepares others to follow in his footsteps as well. Just as the prophets prepared the world for the coming of Christ, so do their successors, the holy apostles and the ministers of the gospel. They deliver the Christ who has come into the world in the flesh and who abides in you through his word with water, his word with supper, his word with holy absolution, and his word as being preached to you right here and now. The teaching of Jesus, whether it's spoken on land or from a boat not far from shore, it is the word of God. He is the source and the location of all that you must hear and be to live as a child of God. So learn from the example of the crowds, therefore, who press upon him wherever he's found, in order to hear and to learn his word. Now bear in mind that St. Luke has written for those, including you, who already know the rest of the story, not only the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also his ongoing life and ministry within his church on earth, as borne out in the Acts of the Apostles. He is the one, Christ Jesus, who is actively present and at work in the words and deeds of Simon Peter, of Andrew, and James, and John, and all those whom he calls and sends in his name. And so does he continue to govern, to guide, to feed, and protect his holy Christian church. And so, as he said, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. It is with this ongoing apostolic ministry of Christ that you are given to hear and to receive the Holy Gospel. And it is for this very reason that it is read and preached in the liturgy of the church, not just as an ancient history, but as a very present reality and truth right here, right now for you. Well, in the case at hand, you know from the start that Simon the fisherman will become Saint Peter the Apostle, and that his preaching and ministry of the gospel will continue, the teaching and the miracles of Christ Jesus as the word and works of God, and so also again to this day and in this place. It's important, therefore, that you should think about Simon Peter and his fellows properly, not only who they were, but who they have become for the entire church, and how did that happen? At the word of Jesus. The bottom line in this gospel is that Simon Peter and his partners will become fishers of men. But as always, the initiative belongs entirely to the Lord Jesus. The fishermen, they've already given up before he arrives. They're not even in their boats anymore when Jesus comes on the scene. It is the presence of Christ Jesus that converts not only Simon Peter, but first of all, his little boat into a little church, into a little ark of the Holy Christian Church out there a short distance from shore. When the Lord Jesus sits down and begins teaching from Simon's humble fishing vessel, it becomes at once a mighty cathedral from which the word of God sounds forth and gives life. In this picture is found Simon Peter's own future. The transition from the ministry of Jesus Christ, God's Son in the flesh, to the apostolic ministry of his servant Simon Peter is depicted in the following fishing expedition. St. Luke writes that Jesus stopped speaking. Not permanently, of course, but as an indication that he will complete his personal ministry on earth with the fulfillment of his cross and resurrection and his ascension before the Father. And as he stops in this case, what does he do? He directs the apostle to cast his nets out into the deep. For as the same Lord Jesus will later say to Simon Peter and the other apostles, "You will be my witnesses from Jerusalem into all Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." But here's where it all begins. This little fishing boat on the Lake of Gennesaret. You want to know where you are in this story? Well, look into those nets of Simon Peter, that is, among the fish. That is where you also find your dear Lord's tender concern for all those such as yourself who are so far from the shores of Galilee, across a great span of time and space, a seemingly impossible distance from the Lord Jesus Christ, if not for his provision of these fishermen and their nets. Simon thus puts into words what he and every pastor and congregation must recognize. All our own toiling, all our own efforts and striving, all of that will accomplish nothing. Only at the word of Jesus do we dare attempt anything at all. For only by his word is there any hope of success. If not for the word of Jesus, the apostles would never have made it out of Jerusalem. Their nets would have remained empty, and the church as well. And that is no less the same case in our own day. The church is nothing and has nothing to offer except by the word of her Lord Jesus Christ. So as pastors and as people, his word in every case remains your saving grace and your only hope, even when it makes no sense to your mortal flesh with all its knowledge and experience. Like heading out to fish in the middle of the day after a long, hard night with no success, and casting the nets in the most unlikely place. The word of the Lord seems like nothing but foolishness. And so, well, what does Peter say? You want me to fish right now during the day? Well, fine, but it's not my idea. And yet, what does he do? He does what the Lord has spoken. And consider what happens at the word of Jesus. They go out into the deep waters, recalling the deep waters of creation in Genesis, with the Spirit-filled word of Jesus moving over the surface of those waters as though to administer a mass baptism of all those who have been lost at sea. You already know how the fish will come to signify people adrift in the deep, like those poor, unfortunate souls who went down on the Titanic. But thus says the Lord, cast out your nets and let them be rescued. And it was so. Is it not amazing? The apostles immediately catch such a great number of fish that their nets begin to rip and tear. Always it is the case that the Lord provides far more than we could ever hope or expect or imagine, to such a great extent that our own frail resources are frequently stretched and challenged. It's not only our physical and financial resources that are challenged, but all of our finite human resources. And as such, whatever temptations Simon Peter or anyone else might have had to view this great apostle as a one-man show, that would never be the case. The Lord would use him, yes, mightily, as St. Luke makes plain in the Acts of the Apostles. St. Peter preaches and acts with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls him and sends him in his own name. But from the start, there are others, his brother Andrew, his colleague James and John, the 12 apostles in all, the new patriarchs of the new Israel, and in their footsteps ever since, many others have followed. One could hardly overemphasize the importance of St. Peter for the life of the church, which is no doubt why St. Luke focuses so much attention upon him. But for that very reason, it has always been necessary to recognize that Simon Peter is upheld by his Lord Jesus and alongside St. Peter, his fellow apostles. And following after St. Peter are the ministers of the gospel who continue to preach and teach the same word, the same Christ, to baptize, to absolve, to commune the congregations of his people all over the world, as also it is here today. And so it goes. At every level of service within the Lord's church, you are not called to go it alone, nor are you as a congregation an island unto yourselves. Together as Christians, as a congregation, you are all members of one body in Christ Jesus, and each of you is called to live in communion with all those who belong to his body, not only in this present time and place, but of all times and in all places. So you have been grafted into the body of Christ, born from above as a child of God and a member of his household and family. Whenever you're brought to recognize the true depths of this blessed fellowship, you may well be overcome by your own unworthiness, especially in contrast to the divine glory of Christ. As Simon Peter learned in this holy gospel, and as Isaiah recognized in the temple, the epiphany of God is a terrifying experience for such wretched sinners as you and all of us are. There can be no pride or boasting in his presence. As Dr. Luther said, we are beggars, it is true. We live solely by his mercy. And so it is that Simon Peter throws himself down before Jesus, whom he's recognized as the Lord, as Yahweh in the flesh. This man who will in due time be given the keys of forgiveness for others is here brought to his knees in repentance, confessing his sins and his unworthiness to his Lord. But this Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, he has not come to punish the sins of men as they deserve. Instead, his word rings out again, "Do not fear." With those words of grace and peace, he bestows his holy absolution upon Simon Peter, as he does now through my lips, cleansed of sin by the burning coals from his altar, that I might speak his forgiveness to you. He comes in the flesh. He lays down his body and life in death upon the cross, that he might raise you up to life by the word of his gospel, that he should make you his own in holy baptism and feed you at his table. To be and live as a disciple of Christ Jesus is not to raise yourself up by your own bootstraps or to impress him with your bravado or your wisdom or your savvy or your achievements, but just to hear his word and to receive the good gifts that he freely gives you by grace alone. That is where and how your life as a Christian begins and how it continues and how it will be unto the resurrection and everlasting life. As you've been caught and rescued in the nets of his gospel, and as you receive all good things in heaven and on earth at the word of the Lord Jesus, so does he also manifest himself in your body and life, and in the works of your calling and your station in life. For Pastor Stephen's part and for my part, we have been called and ordained to serve in the office that began with Christ and his apostles. And thus do we preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. We catechize you with his word. We baptize in his name. And we call you daily to the significance of your holy baptism, as we shall do by God's grace for all the catechumens. We feed you with the food and the drink that Christ Jesus provides, that you should not die, but live as a member of his body and bride, the church. As we carry out these works in his name and at his word, they are his own works of grace and mercy and peace, whereby he manifests the glory of his gospel for your life and salvation in him. And you, in turn, baptized into Christ, cleansed and forgiven by his word of the gospel and fed from his altar, you are called to show forth his praises in your body and life, and to manifest the glory of his cross and resurrection in that which you are given to do. Wherever he has put you in this world, wherever your place in life, he has recreated you in his image, and his likeness, and he reveals his glory in your words and works. To be sure, bearing his glory in this fallen and perishing world means bearing his cross in this poor life of labor. For his cross and his passion remain the greatest revelation of his glory on earth. To suffer and to die with him is not easy, but the cross that you carry as a disciple of Christ Jesus is not for your destruction. It is the way that you enter into eternal life with him forever. It is from his cross, indeed, that he feeds and strengthens you. This life that you live, these words that you speak, they're not of yourself. They are the very things you have received by God's grace through Christ Jesus, who has made you his own, who has caught you in his nets, who has taken you safely aboard the holy ark of his Christian church, and who does not cast you away from his presence, but pours out his Spirit generously upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.